305, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We got great stuff coming all of our ways. Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be joining us a little more than a half hour from now. Looking forward to chatting with him. Tony Pham is dropping by. Rob Chadwick, United States Concealed Carry Association. We're just, we're loaded and we're ready to roll. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon. Lots of things to talk about. And I got news for you, some good stuff. Now, it's not all good stuff. You just heard Charles Pyle with his report. Another one of these local judges somehow, some way deciding that he was actually elected president of the United States. And then, of course, we had our official Virginia State Garden Gnome, Tiny Tim Kaine, saying, well, you know, you can't just, the president can't, well, no, actually you can. Because what we're talking about here are executive level decisions, such as an example with the staffing, right? Tiny Tim Kaine does not like the fact that what was misnamed U.S. aid, nothing more truly than a means to launder money and take it from your pocket to my pocket and put it into the hands of these left-wing NGOs. He doesn't like the fact that the president said we're not going to do that anymore. He also doesn't like the fact that state-run media, NPR, PBS, they're also in the crosshairs. They are. Craziness. Absolute craziness. Seems to believe that once you've set it up and it's all this left-wing operation, well, by God, it's just going to keep going. And finally, I'm telling you, this is a generational leader in President Trump. This is somebody who comes along once in your lifetime. No, it's not what we're going to do. Ultimately, does Congress have the power to decide? Sure. We get it. The president doesn't actually write the budget. He writes a budget proposal. His staff writes a budget proposal. Most of us have been around the block a time or two. We know how this works. But all that Tim Kaine is doing, as he usually does, is trying to scare people. You know, he engages in this ridiculous, and I do mean ridiculous, continual attack on President Trump. I just thought I'd offer that. Now, Chief Rick Edwards in the city of Richmond, Richmond Police Chief, said the crime rate is pretty much static, just the way it is, and I will take that over an increase. Would I like to see the crime rate come down in the city? Of course. I think most of us would. But the chief delivered the state of the criminal situation, said we're fundamentally where we were the last time I chatted about this. And given the problems that the city has, that's not a bad accomplishment to hold the line. Rick Edwards is a solid chief of police. Let me be as clear as I possibly can on that. Rock solid chief for RPD. Up through the ranks, cares passionately about the troops, supports the guys and gals that are out there doing the job every single day, cares about the safety of the community, cares about the community. You know, he could go anywhere. That's one of those things people do need to bear in mind. This area, we have some really good quality people. And many could choose to go elsewhere if, for some reason, they chose to go elsewhere. Rick Edwards is one of those guys. So just bear that in mind. All right, a couple of the other things. Let me remind you about the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I am taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. A couple of folks wondering what was going on this morning. Rich was off. Rich Herrera, who hosts Richmond's Morning News, took this morning off and is taking tomorrow off. Son Riggs is in town, and they're spending a little time together, so good for them. Rich texted me a couple of photos, and they just look like they're having a great time. So that's what happened. We've got a substitute in the morning, today and tomorrow. I would suggest you listen to it. Something you might learn, but there we have it. There we have it. 804 says, Jeff, what exactly is Tim Kaine talking about? This whole rescission package is voted on by Congress. You are correct. Good to see these crazy federal district judges are forcing the Supreme Court justices to earn their pay. This case, where once again a local judge, local federal district judge, decided that he was elected president, it is immediately going to the Supreme Court. That's not necessarily a bad thing. Not necessarily a bad thing. It will force the court to address it. And when the court addresses it, because this is just like the other case where the Supreme Court said, no, you do not have the power to overrule the president. This one, I would firmly believe, is going to go in exactly the same way. It's fundamentally the same matter. Of course, next week, Joe Moreno will be with us. Former federal prosecutor joins us on a regular basis. He'll let us know how it's being handled, but it would seem to me it'll be the same result. And it will say, no, the president gets to make these decisions. Just because you don't like the president doesn't mean he or she is not allowed to make a decision or enact a policy. But that's what the left has been reduced to now. They hate Trump. Why? I don't know. I really don't. But they hate him. They haven't won at the ballot box. They're not winning in the court of public opinion. They don't control the House. They don't control the Senate. So all they have left are judges who are also activists. And they want to show you how big their gavel is. And so they're passing judgment, which, again, is being overturned by, smacked down by, the Supreme Court. And it's not a close call with this stuff getting to the Supreme Court. Everybody, with the exception of three, seem to be on board. And even one of those three, Sonia Sotomayor, she herself was disgusted at how stupid the opinion from Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was. And they are fellow left-wing folks. It absolutely amazes me. So anyway, that's some of the stuff that we've got cooking for this afternoon. Oh, I ran into Riley Shia yesterday at this human trafficking event. And was chatting with her. The Virginia Council has a big event coming up themselves. And so Riley's going to hop on with us this afternoon at 5:05. Today is the last day to get your tickets for it. So I prevailed upon her to kind of delay that deadline by at least a couple of minutes so that you'll be able to hear about it at 5:05. And hopefully, head on over and get your tickets for the big Virginia Council event. 804 says, Jeff, Richmond is effectively a sanctuary city. You are correct. LeVar Stoney declared it to be a sanctuary city. The mayor, Dr. Donnie Avuli, he's a left-winger, said he's going to continue this whole sanctuary city stuff. But when push comes to shove, it doesn't matter. The mayor of the city doesn't have the ability to counteract federal law, and that's what this is. The states don't have the ability to counteract a federal law, and that's what this is. So Tom Holman and ICE will be coming to wherever it is they want to come to enforce federal laws. And anybody who doesn't like the law they're enforcing, well, I would give you a piece of advice. I would say what you should do is try and change the law. You can do it. No, you really can. You can elect people that you support who you know will change the law. I would be voting in a different direction, but that's okay, right? Isn't that the whole point of this election process that we've set up? You've got your opinions, I've got my opinions, we agree, we disagree, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But the way that you change it, if in fact you don't like it, is to elect people who will change it. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and guess what? We've got thunderstorms on the way. Have I not said that every day now for a couple of weeks? Yes. Yes, I have. And I will continue saying it. My prediction, and you know I don't do predictions, but were I to do predictions, I will continue sharing some variation on that for the remainder of the summer. Until we hit October and the weather chills a little bit, we will have the potential for thunderstorms every single day. We got some really heavy ones last night, by the way. We really do. Really, really did. God. But it was great sleeping. Hey, my friend Laura Sylvester, the Pie Safe Baking Company, the best baker in all of Central Virginia, is now part of Team Katz, helping the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. So Laura is donating money. God bless her. What a sweetheart. She's donating $15 for each Julia Katz strawberry cake that she sells. It's for the first 20 of those. $5 for each bag of the Julia Katz chocolate chip cookies. And $2 for each pumpkin bread. Yeah. Well, you want to visit with her so that you can buy some of that? Yes. Yes, you do. This Saturday from 8 in the morning until noon, she'll be out at the Mineral Farmers Market. She's right next to Thankful Farms, which is another great place. They're not on Team Katz, although they do a great job with meat, I'll tell you that. Anyway, Laura and the Pie Safe Baking Company out there this Saturday morning, 8 a.m. right up until 12 noon at the Mineral Farmers Market. And you will be able to support Team Katz as we work hard to raise money for the 10th anniversary of the father figure, the big event for Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. That's how we pay the bills. That's how we make sure that we've got diapers coming in. You know, we distribute those to dads because dads change diapers as well. Believe me, I know that one. It's how we fund our fatherhood initiative inside the jails. I'm the lead teacher. Can't tell you how thrilled I am to be able to say that, but the lead instructor for the Inside Out Dad over at the Pamunkey Regional Jail. And that's not cheap. The books are expensive, but the guys have got to have the books if they're going to do the work. So we got to pay for the books. You see what I'm saying? So you get the chance to purchase a Julia Katz strawberry cake. They're delicious. Those are Julia's favorite. We always get them for her birthday. And Laura, for the first 20 of those sold, will donate $15 per cake. Bag of the Julia Katz chocolate chip cookies, $5 donated for each of those bags sold. And then pumpkin bread. The pumpkin bread is unnamed. Well, I'm thinking for the right amount, we could get it named. But she will be taking $2 off the sale of each pumpkin bread and donating that as well to Team Katz and the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. All right, so please head on out there, Mineral Farmers Market this Saturday. The James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, if Abigail Spamberger becomes governor, will she make Virginia a sanctuary state? Yes, that would absolutely be her desire. Abigail Spamberger is a dangerous lady. Her ideas are not just different. Her ideas are bad. I mean really, really bad. We've had such great progress the last 4 years with Governor Glenn Youngkin, and a Spamberger victory would undo all of it. By the way, I should mention this. Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us just about 20 minutes from now. You don't want to miss him. Governor Glenn Youngkin, always happy to welcome him to the program. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, less than 10 minutes from now. Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be joining us. Always look forward to chatting with the governor. We have an economy that is absolutely cooking in Virginia. You make no mistake about that. It has been ignited, reignited perhaps, tended to properly by the governor, by his team. And we really, really are doing a great job. Now, you heard that little thing about the CNBC rankings. We have been number one. Now, apparently, we're number four. They're looking at the increasing costs. Well, if you'd like to see Virginia fall way down on the list, you know what would happen? You would repeal the right to work law. You would enact a $15 to $20 an hour minimum wage, and you would empower a whole variety of unions. That would guarantee you that we won't even be in the top 10. You know who wants to do that? Abigail Spanberger, Ghazala Hashmi, and Jay Jones. That's their plan. That's what they want to do. They want to turn Virginia into Maryland. You know, we always talk about don't California my Virginia. That's my buddy, Congressman John McGuire, came up with that one. And I agree with him. Last thing I want is our beautiful, beloved Commonwealth to become California East or New York South. But we don't even have to travel that far to see the problems. You can look right up 95. Take a look at Maryland. Good Lord. Anybody really want to go in that direction? Even if you're on board as a, you know, like a crazy leftist. Why? Why would anybody want to live with that? With the restrictions? Anybody remember the restrictions of Ralph Northam? God, what a terrible time that was. You remember the times with Terry McAuliffe? Oh, just awful. So these last 4 years, gang, let's be honest with each other. This Commonwealth has made such huge strides. Getting right back to where it should be, where it can be, where it needs to be. Right, making Virginia the best place to live, work, and raise a family. I wouldn't be able to understand how anybody would say, yeah, let's turn our back on that. Well, we'll talk with Governor Youngkin about that. There's a lot of things that we need to address with the governor. Just a couple of days ago, he was down at 84 Lumber, it was North Chesterfield, I think, to talk about the reduction in that onerous regulatory space. I have friends who are business owners, and they've told me for years, oh, I would so much rather that regulations be cut rather than I even get a tax cut. That's how bad they are. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about those CNBC rankings, how our economy is doing. Governor welcoming Buc-ees to the Commonwealth. Good to have them here. Lots of great stuff. Governor Glenn Youngkin joining us just a couple of moments from now. It is 3:40. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:43, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Here we are. It is a Friday Eve. I refuse to use that other word. I mean, I know what it is. I know what it says in the calendar. But don't you think Friday Eve just... it feels friendlier and happier and nicer, and you know the weekend is. You know what we've had this weekend? I mean, didn't we have to work a full week this weekend? Were we off on Monday, Jerm? I don't know. No, I think this was. Oh my gosh, a full 5 day week this week. Whew. Everybody's gonna need a vacation, right? Rich Herrera is actually on vacation. He's taking a couple of days off. He's sent me some really nice photos. Really nice of him with his son. And as someone who had to work away from my family for an extended period of time, you know, when I first got here, we were going through such difficult times trying to find services for Julia. And Harry was on track to graduate as the valedictorian from his high school up in Massachusetts. Oh, really? So I did this insane back and forth between my two beloved commonwealths, Virginia and Massachusetts. And then as soon as we could, let me tell you, we came. You know, it's exactly where we're supposed to be. I always tell people, John, I tell all the time, hey, I was not born here, wasn't fortunate enough to be born here, but I got here as quickly as I could. And so I love Virginia, and I love what it is that our Commonwealth is. And I think Rich is learning to love Virginia, don't you think? If you've listened to Rich in the morning, Richmond's Morning News, I know he's, you know, confused one or two things in the early steps, right? Like, you know, Henrico is not Hanover. That's okay. It's all right. And Short Pump is not in the city. Those were the two that I remember. All right. I can assure you that he is well he is well aware of those one or two little things. But I think, truthfully, that good addition, good ad, and is doing right. So we are all, I hope, on the same page in terms of making our beloved Commonwealth the best it can be, the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And my humble opinion, the man who has been able to do that for the last 4 years is my friend, my governor, Governor Glenn Youngkin, who is joining us. Governor Youngkin, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff, great to be with you. And I just, thanks for making time for me. And before we get too deep, hey, I want to thank you for serving on our board for people with disabilities. I just want to thank you. It was a very important seat to fill with someone who truly believes in representing folks who are extraordinary. And so thank you for doing it.
Well, you are very kind, sir, and I thank you for that. The best lapel pin that I was ever able to earn, I'll tell you that. I want to talk about some of the steps that you have taken, some of the things you were just talking about earlier this week. You were at 84 Lumber down in Chesterfield paying attention to these onerous regulatory matters that really have impacted business. What have you done with that, and why has that been so important?
Yeah, well, at the heart of it is that overregulation kills business. And we are open for business. Literally on day one, I signed Executive Directive 1 that said we're going to reduce overregulation in Virginia by 25%. And we went to work immediately. And this past week, we broke through that 25% number. And when you really think about it, that's 89,000 regulations that have been streamlined. And it has resulted in saving Virginians $1.2 billion every year. And it gets down the cost of living, it brings down the cost of doing business, and it makes Virginia even better at being the best state in America to live, work, and raise a family. And that has been huge. And Jeff, what that has translated to is companies wanting to be in Virginia. And I have to tell you that the idea that we are going to compete every single day against some of the toughest states in America, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, every day to bring investment to this state means that we have to bring everything we've got in order to make Virginia the most business-friendly state. And we've seen this work. Listen, we've got $120 billion of business investment that's been committed to Virginia from companies that are already here and growing or ones that are coming. But we've also seen that translate into jobs, and 270,000 more people are working today. And we've got another 80,000 coming with that huge $120 billion investment. And we've had 15,000 startups, high growth startups, come to Virginia and get the beginnings of those amazing words, "You are hired," to grow in Virginia. And so this is where opportunity is. And that's why these regulations are so important. And some of these things are just flat stupid. They're regulations left over from a long time ago. They're regulations that were put in place in a one size fit all manner. And most of them we have seen either in the housing sector, we've seen them in our environmental quality sector, or we've seen them at VDOT. And those have been the biggest areas where we've been able to streamline. And today, guess what? If you need an air permit or a water permit in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you get it in one third the time is when we started. And that's why businesses want to be here, because they know they can do business at the speed of business, not at the speed of government.
Have you accomplished everything in that regulatory space, or are there still one or two things that you would you'd kind of get rid of if you could?
Yeah, there's still huge opportunities. And in fact, I reset the target. So we sat in our cabinet meeting on Monday, and everybody was celebrating a little bit. And I said, hold off. Listen, we're going to run through the tape in January, and I want another 10% reduction. So 25% just became 35%. And one of the things that we're launching is using an AI tool to literally comb through the residual, call it nearly 275, almost 300,000 regs, and to say, hey, what are these are duplicative? What's being used in other states that's better? And we're going to continue to see our regulatory burden on people and businesses go down. And we're not stopping until my last day in office.
Wow. Well, I love the sound of that. Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us. What about the new rankings out of CNBC? We had been number one for a number of years, and I guess according to the latest one, we're number four. Is there anything to take from that?
Well, first of all, Virginia is number one, and I just want to tell everybody that we are number one when it comes to investment. We've had huge job growth, and what CNBC did was they changed their criteria this year. And biggest thing they changed was they were going to penalize states for doing business with the federal government. So if you had a lot of federal government work, then you got penalized. And that took us from one to four. In fact, they missed it. They missed it completely. Because what we've done over the last 4 years is grow at a substantial pace the private sector in Virginia. And therefore, we have seen that huge investment, $120 billion. We've seen huge job growth, as I said, of 350,000 cumulative jobs between those already taken and those that have been committed to. We have 200,000 jobs in Virginia that are open that haven't been filled yet. And so the private sector is roaring in Virginia. And what I constantly have to remind everybody is the vast disproportionate amount of the federal workforce in Virginia works for defense, national security, and the intelligence community. And these are areas that are getting more investment from the federal government. And so I just think CNBC missed it. I think it's a bust in their methodology. We were still ranked number one in education. We, in fact, were number two in infrastructure. We were top 10 in business friendliness and access to capital and all of these things that drive the great results we've had. And I think this penalty that they put on us for being next to Washington, where we have so much defense investment that's going to grow, I think was not only wrong, but I think it really has caused them to misrank us this year. Listen, we're number four. We're sitting here next to Florida, Texas, and North Carolina. And of course, behind us are Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia. And as I said, we're in the SEC of economic development. Every company that we compete with, we're competing against these states, and we win a ton of them. And I think this is, Jeff, why it's so important that we pay attention to this election in November. Let's be real. What we have proven is conservative, common sense policies work. You can grow the economy, grow jobs, grow opportunity, and as a result, you grow government surplus. We have $10 billion of government surpluses that we have run since I've been in office. We've had $9 billion of tax relief, and yet record investments in education and law enforcement, making government work better. And I'll tell you, that future for Virginia needs Winsome Earl Sears.
Yes.
And if the other side is elected, let me tell you what they want to do. They want to force everyone to join a union. They want to get rid of right to work. They, in fact, want to continue to run with this new Green Deal that they put in place, which has been something I've been unpicking for the last 4 years, so that now we have all of the above. We have natural gas and nuclear, and we've got to increase our power supply so we can bring power prices down. They want to regulate what businesses pay people and what benefits they offer. And I'm just telling you, there is a stark choice in this election, a stark choice between a pro-business future that will continue to unleash opportunity for the Commonwealth of Virginia and, candidly, a candidate who will take us back to where we were, which was a Virginia that had no job growth, no economic growth, had more people moving away than moving here for 10 years, and had 25,000 small businesses that closed in 2021. That's not a good future for us, and that's why what we've proven works needs to continue, particularly when we're competing against these states that are also working really hard to have low taxes, low regulations, the best workforce. We're all competing, and Virginia has to continue to win with the formula that we've demonstrated as a winner.
No doubt about that. To continue the amazing accomplishments of Team Youngkin, you keep Team Youngkin in place with a new leader, with Lieutenant Governor Sears. She was here the other day. You know, Governor, one of your and my beloved dining spots, the Tea Room, our buddy Dave Saunders, when everybody was hullabalooing about tariffs, he said, you know, I'm going to go through all my prices. I'm going to figure out where stuff comes from. He went in and made sure that just about everything, I think it's 96 or 97% of the items he uses are American sourced. And so he was actually able to lower the prices on the majority of the menu items. And yes, that will include your beloved cheesy Western. I just wanted you to let know that.
God bless him. You know, and we're seeing this from businesses all over, which is if you reorient your supply chains and you're buying American, you can, in fact, bring your costs down. If you're going to import from foreign countries that are bad actors, your costs are going to go up. And that's what President Trump is doing. And let me tell you, it is translating into huge investment in the Commonwealth. Our economic development pipeline for big facilities has never been bigger. And on top of that, we just had another corporate headquarters, Orbcon, just moved into Virginia. We're going to announce that here we just did 50 minutes ago. But that is what is happening with this pro-America approach, which is, hey, let's buy American products, let's have American supply chains, and let's move global manufacturing into the United States. And when you compete like heck, like we do in Virginia, you win a lot of that. And again, that drives economic growth, job growth, opportunity, and it allows the state to invest in all the things that we're investing in addition to tax relief.
Governor, I know that you have got a million things to do. I just want to take 60 seconds here and thank you for your continuing support of law enforcement. Sitting here as an ex-cop, it just always warms my heart to see you and Attorney General Jason Meares doing the right thing. It was nice to see you addressing the incoming class of trooper trainees for the Virginia State Police, their 144th basic class. You have not only talked the talk, you have walked the walk. And law enforcement in our Commonwealth is better because of it. So thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. I tell you, this class we have coming out of the trooper school is one of the largest classes we've ever had. It is the largest class we've had in the last 8 years. And it just reflects the fact that people today want to be in law enforcement because we back the blue. We've given them raises, we've given them record investments in training and equipment, and we stand by them, and we understand that a safer Virginia is going to result from more badges on the street. And when we arrest the bad guys and get them off the street, Virginia's safer. And guess what? Those guys who put on a bulletproof vest every day and go to work deserve our thanks. I've got their back because I know they've got mine.
No doubt about it. Governor, I always appreciate you making time for us. I am grateful, not just for your time on the radio. I am grateful for the fact that you are governor. You're continuing to go out there and swing for the stands every day. And it was wonderful to hear that your family, as they were visiting Texas, that they were fine, that the floods did not impact them in a terrible way. So, again, I thank you for being here, my
friend. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. And I will just say, keep praying for those families in Texas. There are so many people who've lost their lives, and families have been devastated. And Suzanne and I find ourselves on our knees every day, just thanking the Lord, one, for our family, but actually asking him to receive these lost souls into his kingdom, but also to wrap his peace and his blessing around families that have lost so much. So anybody who can do anything to help the families in Texas, please do. And everybody keep praying for them.
Absolutely. Governor, thank you, sir. That is Governor Glenn Youngkin, and he is the governor of our beloved Commonwealth. And I am telling you, he is the guy who is responsible for Virginia truly being the best place to live, work, and raise a family. He's out there. He does the job every single day, day in, day out. And not to make it overly political, but from the bottom of my heart, I'm telling everyone, if you're not going to vote and move Winsome Sears into the executive mansion, move John Reed into the lieutenant governor spot, re-elect Jason Meares, then we are talking about bringing very, very, very bad times to our Commonwealth, going back a number of steps. And I, for one, do not want to see that. So I love Virginia. I love the Gov. And there you have it. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. There you go. It is what it is, right? Weather is also what it is. Yes, I know. We once again have a chance of thunderstorms. Friends, it is Central Virginia in the summer, which means fundamentally every single solitary day we have a chance for thunderstorms. Although the last couple of days we really have gotten some heavy rain. I don't know, thankfully, I don't know anything about flooding yesterday. Remember, they were talking about the possibility of 1 to 2 inches of rain from the evening through the overnight, and then the possibility of localized flooding. I am very happy to say that I haven't seen any stories about any flooding. If you had something going on in your neck of the woods, do me a favor, because I personally want to be aware of it. I want everybody to be aware of it. Send me a quick note. Use the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. All right? And just let me know if you encountered anything so that we can be aware of that. Thanks again to Governor Glenn Youngkin for dropping by. Number of folks have already reached out. Jeff, I missed the governor. Oh my gosh. I thought he was going to be on. It's all right. Jeremy, because he is, in addition to, according to all the rankings, Jeremy is the number 35 best talk radio producer in all of America. It's true. Talkers Magazine saluting. All right, well, they saluted me. But nonetheless, I mean, I consider Germ part of the crowd. So he's very good. So he's already turning that around. And our conversation with Governor Youngkin will air it again in its entirety starting at 5:05 this afternoon. So I promise you, you won't miss anything. Tony Pham is going to be with us at 4:35. I just got a note. Wait a minute. I got to tell you this. Jeff, what is this Easy Western thing you mentioned to the governor? Not Easy Western. Cheesy Western. The Cheesy Western is one of the hallmark sandwiches at the Texas Inn. The Tea Room, two locations in Lynchburg and one in Harrisonburg and one in Richmond. That's my buddy Dave Saunders. That's his. So, you know, I'm not an egg person, right? I just don't like eggs. And the Cheesy Western prominently features an egg. But even I'm not quite an anti-eggite, but I don't particularly care for eggs. But even I will consume a Cheesy Western. And so for the person who does not know what a Cheesy Western is from the Texas Inn, I actually looked it up on their website to make sure I got the description right. Most of the rest of us kind of sort of know if we've been there, right? All right, the Cheesy Western, or just Cheesy, it's a beautiful burger, and it is topped with an egg. It's whisked exactly 10 times, fried sunny side up like an omelet. Then the burger patty is placed on top. The egg and burger combo is flipped to finish cooking, then placed on a bun, and then topped with American cheese, a sprinkle of chopped onion, and the Tea Room's legendary yellow relish. Now, I don't even know how to describe that golden relish. I don't, except delicious. That's all. So there you go. So and the Cheesy Western is, in fact, the governor's favorite item at the Texas Inn. So that's why I mentioned it, all right, 804? And if you haven't, in fact, gone and tried the cheesy Western, then please, you should do something about that. 804 says, hey, hitting me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I wish we could have Governor Youngkin for a second term. Yeah, well, this is the weird thing about our beloved Commonwealth. You're in, you're out. You got 4 years. You can't succeed yourself. Although, in theory, if Governor Youngkin wanted to come back in another 4 years and run again, he'd be able to. But it happens, I'm trying to think, is it twice, Jerem? I think it's twice in Virginia history. There's been someone who has served as governor twice. I think, don't quote me, not a history major, but I think that's what it was. Somebody will know. And if you know, then let me know. 833-804-1140. Jeff, please ask him how we can bring Lieutenant Governor Sears to accept John Reed and show a true unified GOP in Virginia, P and Hanover. It is a unified team. When Lieutenant Governor Sears was here a couple of days ago, she talked about it. It's a unified team. Everybody is on the same page. This is all about keeping Virginia on track. So those handful of people who are still thinking, oh, this one doesn't like that one and that one doesn't, please, just put it to bed already. Honest to goodness, be done with it. We only elect three people statewide for our state offices, right? Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General. We are hitting on all cylinders with these options. Please, just full steam ahead. Another 804 says, Jeff, CNBC is simply trying to make Republicans look bad to help the Democrats. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. When you hear what CNBC added to this list, and Governor Youngkin explained it just a couple of moments ago. But we're still number one, right? I mean, really. Yeah. All right, now I knew Mills Godwin had been elected twice. And wasn't he was elected once as a Democrat, once as a Republican? Isn't that right? God, I'm going to embarrass myself if I'm completely and totally wrong, but I think that's correct. And William Smith also elected as governor more than once. That's since the adoption of Virginia's second constitution in 1830. That comes to us from Jeremy, and I have a sneaking suspicion his pal, A.I. All right. What else have we got here? Governor Youngkin sent out a mailing asking to support Jason Meares. Yeah, that's from Tom and Chester. Jason Meares is vital, vital to keeping Virginia on the straight and narrow, keeping us moving forward. This attorney general actually cares about enforcing the law. This attorney general is actually out there trying to hold the irresponsible Commonwealth's attorneys feet to the fire. He doesn't have all the power from the legislature. But you look at that guy, what is it? I'm trying to think, one of the, is it Steve Toscano, right? Up in Fairfax, who, I don't want to mess up his name. My luck, I'll name his cousin. His cousin will be all upset. Yeah, I think it's a tease there. But, you know, he is all in favor, apparently, of criminality. Honest to goodness, I don't think he's ever met a criminal he didn't like. So it's sort of craziness when you think about it. We want our Commonwealth's attorneys to be out there prosecuting people, right? Police lock them up, but then it's up to the CA to do the prosecution. And if you've got a prosecutor like Steve Toscano, well, it's not going to get done. One of these far left wing wackadoodles. Hell, even in Henrico, Shannon Taylor. Shannon Taylor is not a fan of law enforcement and not a supporter of law and order. It's pretty close. And it's one of the reasons that it's essential that Jason Meares is returned to the AG's office. Anyway, Tony Pham, who also knows a thing or two about law enforcement and the border, and as well as correctional operations, he is going to be with us at 4:35. Our good friend Rob Chadwick retired out of the FBI. He was the tactical instructor up there at Quantico. Great dude. He's over at the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. He joins us every Friday Eve. He'll be with us. Oh, and Riley Shia from the Virginia Council. They have a great, fun event coming up, a big party that you are welcome to attend, but you have to register for it. So I ran into Riley the other day at an event. I said, could you hop on and just let everybody know how they get signed up for it? And she said, sure. So she'll be with us as well. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. There's a lot going on. There's no doubt about that. And we've got some good stuff going on. You're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you that the local federal district judge who ruled against President Trump, you're going to think I'm nuts when I tell you that's actually a good thing. I'll tell you why. No, let me be clear. Because it's going to be fast-tracked right to the Supreme Court, and the Supremes will once again have an opportunity, and I would say an obligation, to smack down a lower court judge. Nothing personal, but you weren't elected president, and you don't have the power to do what it is that you're trying to do. It's the last vestige of the leftist right now. I was disgusted. I watched a piece on PBS. All right, in general, I know you could feel nauseous watching PBS, but this was with the chairman of the Democrat National Committee. What's his name? Ken Martin. And PBS, I will give them this degree of credit. They actually asked him about the Zohran Mamdani guy. He's the Jew-hating, America-hating communist who wants to be mayor of New York. And they asked him, this DNC chair, about Mamdani calling to, quote, globalize the Intifada. Now, here's a chance for him to reassure someone like, oh, I don't know, me, who grew up as a Democrat. Say, hey, listen. Some crazy people. And no, we're not on board with that. But he didn't do that. He said of Mamdani and his call to globalize the Intifada, which is a call for even more slaughters of even more Jews. Globalize the Intifada means to slaughter as many Jews as possible and to completely eliminate the modern state of Israel. That's what globalize the Intifada means. And the DNC chair said, well, we're a big tent party. Sure, there are differences of opinions. Now you tell me, Mr. Chairman, what's the difference of opinion? As one group of people shouting globalize the Intifada is saying, well, we should slaughter all the Jews. Is the difference of opinion, well, maybe we should only slaughter some of the Jews? Is that what the difference of opinion is? You know, the difference of opinion in any other setting is you're having a hot dog. Are you putting ketchup on that? Would you rather have mustard? You can make an argument for either, and I will eat it either way, by the way. That's a difference of opinion. Do you want mustard or ketchup on something? Slaughtering the Jews is not really subject to interpretation or equivocation. Unless, of course, you're the chair of the Democrat National Committee, which in that case, apparently, you can kind of sort of go along with it. Which is why I kind of sort of can't go along with you. Tony Pham joins us at 4:35. Always look forward to chatting with Tony. Remember, the James River Air text line always available to you, 833-804-1140. 4:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is holding steady, 80, 82 degrees. And yes, we do, in fact, have a possibility of thunderstorms rolling through sometime this evening. Because we always have a possibility of thunderstorms rolling through sometime this evening during the summer, Central Virginia. We've got Rob Chadwick, who's going to be joining us at 5:35, United States Concealed Carry Association, retired FBI supervisory special agent, headed up their tactical operations, teaching people tactics and shooting and all the rest of that stuff at Quantico. Looking forward to chatting with him. Oh, and Riley Shiley. Riley Shiley is going to pop in for a couple of moments. The Virginia Council has a big event coming up, a fun event, and you're invited to it, but the time to register is running out. So I think she's holding it open for just another day or two for my listeners, and we'll get the details in a couple of moments. As you know, I happen to think the world of Tony Pham. I have admired his dedication to the country. I have stood in awe of him as he has accepted every single solitary challenge to help and to lead. And Tony is now a senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute. And he's going to be joining us on a regular basis again. And we're just thrilled to get Tony into the lineup here to talk about a variety of issues. His specialty, clearly, is bailiwick, is the immigration matter. But again, he is now a senior fellow for the America First Policy Institute. Tony, thank you for being here. And big time congratulations. That's a pretty impressive post, my friend.
Oh, Jeff, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you and talk to your listeners. And again, thank you for the kind words about my new role with the America First Policy Institute. America First, America always.
Yeah. Wow. What a great line. God, that is beautiful. Yeah, say it again, because I want to hear it again. Everybody should hear that.
I know. America First, America always, coming from a refugee who came to this country in 1975, right? It's their mission set is in line with what my beliefs are and how great this nation is. And I'm always proud and grateful for the opportunity to appear in multiple different spaces to represent their mission, but also to talk about a lot of the policy related issues that are going to be coming down the pike or have come down the pike from this administration, but also provide a unique and dynamic contrast to what it was like the previous 4 years. I don't always want to live in the past, but to appreciate and understand the pragmatic way forward to saving this nation that we all love, we do have to compare what life was like in the previous 4 years.
Oh, we absolutely do. Oh, good Lord, we absolutely do. President Trump has accomplished so much in the first 6 months. I don't believe. I've never seen a president get that much done in the first 6 months in office. And his operations in once again securing the border, my gosh, he's done incredible work. You tell me, what are you seeing? What is the big difference between 2 years ago and now?
Oh, no, absolutely. And Jeff, you know, I always like to say this, and forgive me for taking the second to just comment. I've had the privilege of serving President Trump in two administrations now, but in three different capacities, right? One as the principal legal advisor, one as the acting director for immigrations from the operations side standpoint, but then also as the assistant secretary for border security from the policy side. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I will note is this administration coming into 2025 moved with precise expertise and precision compared to the previous administration, Joe Biden, who came in and the only thing they ran on or worked on was undoing everything President Trump's first administration had effectively done. This administration, this time around, 47, however, blazed their own trail. They had some time to work through all the chess pieces. So you could see it in comparison to all of the executive orders that were issued in a cascading manner, right? They just came flowing out. And I say that affectionately because I was in charge of the policy shop that received all of the policies. So I did the sweep for a while. But that was a privilege of losing a lot of sleep in an effort to be a part of a team of well-intentioned and qualified people with certain subject matter expertise who were putting in the policies that he wanted to see to shut down the border. I mean, we have historic lows right now in looking at the border crossings and border interdictions that CBP has to go through. Historic numbers, better than what we've seen before in his previous administration. But we're also seeing these executive orders that are looking at unique unique and critical ways to approach, new and novel ways to approach the Immigration Title Aid Enforcement Authority, right? Utilizing multiple different law enforcement agents and officers who do have historically had Title Aid authority to enforce immigration laws, but failed to do so for multitude of reasons. I'm not going to delve into every individual department, but you know, to be able to identify those equities and those authorities and put them all into a singular plan was quite impressive to be a part of. And I'm pretty excited to see a lot of the results come from what are those results? Historic number of deportations, right? Lower numbers, historic low numbers at border interdictions and border crossings. Getting criminal aliens out of the United States, keeping true to his word that he's going to protect the American people through aggressive illegal immigration enforcement. So on that front, that's the big difference, is they put the action plan in play and have not deviated from it.
Mm-hmm. What is there to say about the obstacles being placed in the way of the DHS and ICE and the removal folks who are out there? The mayor of Los Angeles, obviously, they're putting up all sorts of robots. And locally, look, Danny Avola, the mayor of Richmond, making clear that as far as he's concerned, Richmond is a sanctuary city. Does any of this stuff hold any weight at all?
I don't know what it means to hold weight. What I do know is if you're going to self-declare that you're a sanctuary, there will be consequences that come down the pike from the federal government for being a sanctuary city. And what that means is not cooperating with ICE or actually taking affirmative steps to be obstructionist to the enforcement of immigration law. Now, I don't want to pre-sell it. I do have an op-ed coming out having a discussion about what constitutes a locality or an entity as a sanctuary city. And that was born from some of that confusion that occurred when DHS had initially published that list, that famous list, as so many people wanted to jump up and down about. But I wanted to be able to utilize my experience in all three capacities across two different administrations to be able to provide the reader who may not know what it really means to not cooperate with ICE. Having run a jail with ICE detainees, I do understand the requirements that were placed on being able to house illegal immigrants, as we call them, illegal aliens, but also being able to turn them over to ICE when necessary. So it's coming down the pike. Hopefully it'll be published soon, Jeff, and I'd love to come back on the show and have a more robust and dynamic discussion with regard to those standards to qualify as a sanctuary. But some of the obstacles we're seeing right now is simply put this way. When the Democrats lose the argument on policy, they are perfectly okay in accepting the violence that occurs that comes after it, right? Yeah. It's almost like having school-age children who don't get their way. And so now what do? They stamp their feet and they're okay when things start getting thrown. And I apologize for likening it to kids, but what we're watching right now is the environment beginning to devolve and reduce itself into sheer violence against our officers and our agents on the street. Yep. And that's unacceptable, right? Completely unacceptable. Anyone who supports law enforcement needs to be in a position to support our agents and officers who are merely doing their job. It's the same analysis, right, Jeff? Back in 2020 in September, when these radicals descended upon my home, and what they did was they protested my wife and kids. And really, for what? I just wanted to do a job, and that was enforce the law. So what we're seeing right now across the United States, across the space, people like Brandon Johnson, people like Mayor Michelle Wu up in Boston, people like Karen Bass out in L.A., being obstructionists, even the senator out there in California and his theatrics and claiming that he was violated, being thrown to the ground, however he yet to identify himself. The left has begun to enable this level of violence. And I'm going to give you an example. Just recently, H.R. 4176, No Secret Police Act of 2025, was introduced by Representative Dan Goldman and co-sponsored by 42 Democrats in Congress, right? Mm-hmm. What that calls for is demanding and requiring our law enforcement to wear their official insignia, but also removing their face masks. Right now, granted, Antifa the radical wing of the Democrat Party, Antifa, they're perfectly happy in wearing all of those face masks, face coverings. And in fact, in 2020, during COVID, all the liberals and Democrats would ever scream about and shame you for is not wearing a mask, right?
That's right.
Let me say this. Instead of focusing on condemning the violence, standing up and supporting our law enforcement by supporting effective and aggressive prosecution. We're looking at, I'm going to give you another example, the 10 individual members in Texas who were planning an ambush at the Prairie Land Detention Center out there in Alvarado, Texas, right? The subsequent ambush attack shooting of the CBP substation in McAllen, Texas. And I was there, right, Jeff? I showed you pictures in 2020, visited McAllen. This is the byproduct of enabling a radical wing of their party who can't, when they don't win the argument on policy, they think they convince the American people by using violence. And I will simply say this, they are writing the best midterm political ads that I can see right now, quite honestly, right? Because I would challenge any mom and pop in suburban America who turns on the TV and see the individuals out in L.A. being allowed to stand on U.S. soil, burn our American flag, but wave a foreign nation's flag of the country that they left and didn't want to live in, right? Great political ad, if you ask me, but I'm just being facetious at this point and pretty punchy. So forgive me, because for someone
that is spot on. And you know what, Tony? Let's end it right there.
Okay.
You're going to come back. I want people to read the op-ed piece. Where's the best place for folks to find that? Where's it going to be?
I will certainly let you know. You can mention it on the show, but I think we're going to be targeted large-scale publications, large-scale newspapers. We'll be targeting it so it gets a broader review from based upon my prior experience in that space.
Perfect. Well, Tony Pham, you are a good man. You've always been a good man. You're a great American, and I love you joining our regular rotation here. That is my friend Tony Pham. Tony is senior fellow now for the America First Policy Institute, and their tagline, I love this, America First, America Always. God bless America. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:52. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I love hearing about In the Garage with Stan Andruski. Or as I've begun calling him, Stan Drewski. Well, I don't have time to say all of it, you know, Stan Andruski, so I cut it out. Stan Drewski. It just sort of flows better. Anyway, In the Garage with Stan Drewski happens Saturday mornings at 8. And we were just chatting earlier today, Stan and I were. So we're both going to be there. It's going to be great. And then later in the day on Saturday, 2:40 p.m., in case you are keeping track at home, I'll be joining my friends over on Newsmax TV. Getting to be something of a regular over there on Newsmax. Really do like that. Appreciate it. Chris Ruddy has been on this program many, many times. He's a great guy. But anyway, Saturday at 2:40 in the afternoon, I scheduled to be on Newsmax TV, and I don't know what I'll be talking about. I don't know who I'll be with, but that's the time they gave me. I always urge you, like, if it's 2:40, you should probably make sure you're watching by 2:30, and it could still happen at 2:45 or 2:50, but I just wanted to at least ballpark it for you. City of Richmond now entering into a consent decree with the Virginia Department of Health to, well, pay attention to the crappy water situation that exists at the Richmond Water Facility. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if they are able to stay on top of it. I hope they are. But they have formally pledged that they are fully addressing the issues at their water treatment plant. I don't know what that means, do you? And without being overly insulting, I'm not sure that I believe them anymore. Seriously, I was totally willing to give the mayor the benefit of the doubt for a little bit. But come on, dude, you've been there for what, 6 months? You should really know a little bit more and get stuff done. 804 says, Jeff, when you refer to Jeremy and call him germ, it sounds like a bacteria. That's just wrong. Jer would be more correct. Well, 804, you are correct. And my natural instinct would be to call Jeremy Jer, but Jeremy is the one who said, no, call me Germ. And his germ is spelled with a J, so it's not a bacteria or a virus. It's a real, live, living producer. Apparently, one of the 35 best talk radio producers in all of America. That's what I heard. Seriously. 456, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. We are all, I hope, on the same page in terms of making our beloved Commonwealth the best it can be, the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And my humble opinion, the man who has been able to do that for the last 4 years is my friend, my governor, Governor Glenn Youngkin, who is joining us. Governor Youngkin, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff, great to be with you. And I just thanks for making time for me. And before we get too deep, hey, I want to thank you for serving on our board for people with disabilities. I just want to thank you. It was a very important seat to fill with someone who truly believes in representing folks who are extraordinary. And so thank you for doing it.
Well, you are very kind, sir, and I thank you for that. The best lapel pin that I was ever able to earn, I'll tell you that. I want to talk about some of the steps that you have taken, some of the things you were just talking about earlier this week. You were at 84 Lumber down in Chesterfield paying attention to these onerous regulatory matters that really have impacted business. What have you done with that, and why has that been so important?
Yeah, well, at the heart of it is that overregulation kills business. And we are open for business. Literally on day one, I signed executive directive one that said we're going to reduce overregulation in Virginia by 25%. And we went to work immediately. And this past week, we broke through that 25% number. And when you really think about it, that's 89,000 regulations that have been streamlined. And it has resulted in saving Virginians $1.2 billion every year. And it gets down the cost of living, it brings down the cost of doing business, and it makes Virginia even better at being the best state in America to live, work, and raise a family. And that has been huge. And Jeff, what that has translated to is companies wanting to be in Virginia. And I have to tell you that the idea that we are going to compete every single day against some of the toughest states in America, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, every day to bring investment to this state means that we have to bring everything we've got in order to make Virginia the most business-friendly state. And we've seen this work. Listen, we've got $120 billion of business investment that's been committed to Virginia from companies that are already here and growing or ones that are coming. But we've also seen that translate into jobs, and 270,000 more people are working today. And we've got another 80,000 coming with that huge $120 billion investment. And we've had 15,000 startups, high-growth startups, come to Virginia and get the beginnings of those amazing words, you are hired, to grow in Virginia. And so this is where opportunity is, and that's why these regulations are so important. And some of these things are just flat stupid. They're regulations left over from a long time ago. They're regulations that were put in place in a one-size-fit-all manner. And most of them we have seen either in the housing sector, we've seen them in our environmental quality sector, or we've seen them at VDOT. And those have been the biggest areas where we've been able to streamline. And today, guess what? If you need an air permit or a water permit in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you get it in one-third the time is when we started. And that's why businesses want to be here, because they know they can do business at the speed of business, not at the speed of government.
Have you accomplished everything in that regulatory space, or are there still one or two things that you would you'd kind of get rid of if you could?
Yeah, there's still huge opportunities. And in fact, I reset the target. So we sat in our cabinet meeting on Monday, and everybody was celebrating a little bit. And I said, hold off. Listen, we're going to run through the tape in January, and I want another 10% reduction. So 25% just became 35%. And one of the things that we're launching is using an AI tool to literally comb through the residual, call it nearly 275, almost 300,000 regs, and to say, hey, what are these duplicatives? What's being used in other states that's better? And we're going to continue to see our regulatory burden on people and businesses go down, and we're not stopping until my last day in office.
Wow. Well, I love the sound of that. Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us. What about the new rankings out of CNBC? We had been number one for a number of years, and I guess according to the latest one, we're number four. Is there anything to take from that?
Well, first of all, Virginia is number one, and I just want to tell everybody that we are number one when it comes to investment. We've had huge job growth, and what CNBC did was they changed their criteria this year. And biggest thing they changed was they were going to penalize states for doing business with the federal government. So if you had a lot of federal government work, then you got penalized. And that took us from one to four. In fact, they've missed it completely. Because what we've done over the last 4 years is grow at a substantial pace the private sector in Virginia. And therefore, we have seen that huge investment, $120 billion. We've seen huge job growth, as I said, of 350,000 cumulative jobs between those already taken and those that have been committed to. We have 200,000 jobs in Virginia that are open that haven't been filled yet. And so the private sector is roaring in Virginia. And what I constantly have to remind everybody is the vast disproportionate amount of the federal workforce in Virginia works for defense, national security, and the intelligence community. And these are areas that are getting more investment from the federal government. And so I just think CNBC missed it. I think it's a bust in their methodology. We were still ranked number one in education. We, in fact, were number two in infrastructure. We were top 10 in business friendliness and access to capital and all of these things that drive the great results we've had. And I think this penalty that they put on us for being next to Washington, where we have so much defense investment that's going to grow, I think was not only wrong, but I think it really has caused them to misrank us this year. Listen, we're number four. We're sitting here next to Florida, Texas, and North Carolina. And of course, behind us are Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia. And as I said, we're in the SEC of economic development. Every company that we compete with, we're competing against these states, and we win a ton of them. And I think this is, Jeff, why it's so important that we pay attention to this election in November. Let's be real. What we have proven is conservative, common sense policies work. You can grow the economy, grow jobs, grow opportunity, and as a result, you grow government surplus. We have $10 billion of government surpluses that we have run since I've been in office. We've had $9 billion of tax relief, and yet record investments in education and law enforcement, making government work better. And I'll tell you, that future for Virginia needs Winsome Earl Sears.
Yes.
And if the other side is elected, let me tell you what they want to do. They want to force everyone to join a union. They want to get rid of right to work. They, in fact, want to continue to run with this new Green Deal that they put in place, which has been something I've been unpicking for the last 4 years, so that now we have all of the above. We have natural gas and nuclear, and we've got to increase our power supply so we can bring power prices down. They want to regulate what businesses pay people and what benefits they offer. And I'm just telling you, there is a stark choice in this election, a stark choice between a pro-business future that will continue to unleash opportunity for the Commonwealth of Virginia and, candidly, a candidate who will take us back to where we were, which was a Virginia that had no job growth, no economic growth, had more people moving away than moving here for 10 years, and had 25,000 small businesses that closed in 2021. That's not a good future for us, and that's why what we've proven works needs to continue, particularly when we're competing against these states that are also working really hard to have low taxes, low regulations, the best workforce. We're all competing, and Virginia has to continue to win with the formula that we've demonstrated as a winner.
No doubt about that. To continue the amazing accomplishments of Team Youngkin, you keep Team Youngkin in place with a new leader, with Lieutenant Governor Sears. She was here the other day. You know, Governor, one of your and my beloved dining spots, the Tea Room, our buddy Dave Saunders, when everybody was hullabalooing about tariffs, he said, you know, I'm going to go through all my prices. I'm going to figure out where stuff comes from. He went in and made sure that just about everything, I think it's 96 or 97% of the items he uses are American sourced. And so he was actually able to lower the prices on the majority of the menu items. And yes, that will include your beloved cheesy Western. I just wanted you to let know that.
God bless him. You know, and we're seeing this from businesses all over, which is if you reorient your supply chains and you're buying American, you can, in fact, bring your costs down. If you're going to import from foreign countries that are bad actors, your costs are going to go up. And that's what President Trump is doing. And let me tell you, it is translating into huge investment in the Commonwealth. Our economic development pipeline for big facilities has never been bigger. And on top of that, we just had another corporate headquarters, Orbcon, just moved into Virginia. We're going to announce that here we just did 50 minutes ago. But that is what is happening with this pro-America approach, which is, hey, let's buy American products, let's have American supply chains, and let's move global manufacturing into the United States. And when you compete like heck, like we do in Virginia, you win a lot of that. And again, that drives economic growth, job growth, opportunity, and it allows the state to invest in all the things that we're investing in addition to tax relief.
Governor, I know that you have got a million things to do. I just want to take 60 seconds here and thank you for your continuing support of law enforcement. Sitting here as an ex-cop, it just always warms my heart to see you and Attorney General Jason Meares doing the right thing. It was nice to see you addressing the incoming class of trooper trainees for the Virginia State Police, their 144th basic class. You have not only talked the talk, you have walked the walk. And law enforcement in our Commonwealth is better because of it. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I tell you, this class we have coming out of the trooper school is one of the largest classes we've ever had. It is the largest class we've had in the last 8 years. And it just reflects the fact that people today want to be in law enforcement because we back the blue. We've given them raises, we've given them record investments in training and equipment, and we stand by them, and we understand that a safer Virginia is going to result from more badges on the street. And when we arrest the bad guys and get them off the street, Virginia's safer. And guess what? Those guys who put on a bulletproof vest every day and go to work deserve our thanks. I've got their back because I know they've got mine.
No doubt about it. Governor, I always appreciate you making time for us. I am grateful, not just for your time on the radio. I am grateful for the fact that that you are governor. You're continuing to go out there and swing for the stands every day. And it was wonderful to hear that your family, as they were visiting Texas, that they were fine, that the floods did not impact them in a terrible way. So, again, I thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. And I will just say, keep praying for those families in Texas. There are so many people who've lost their lives, and families have been devastated. And Suzanne and I find ourselves on our knees every day, just thanking the Lord, one, for our family, but actually asking him to receive these lost souls into his kingdom, but also to wrap his peace and his blessing around families that have lost so much. So anybody who can do anything to help the families in Texas, please do, and everybody keep praying for them.
Absolutely. Governor, thank you, sir. That is Governor Glenn Youngkin. He is the governor of our beloved Commonwealth, and I am telling you, he is the guy who is responsible for Virginia truly being the best place to live, work, and raise a family. He's out there. He does the job every single day, day in, day out. And not to make it overly political, but from the bottom of my heart, I'm telling everyone, if you're not going to vote and move Winsome Sears into the executive mansion, move John Reed into the lieutenant governor spot, re-elect Jason Meares, then we are talking about bringing very, very, very bad times to our Commonwealth, going back a number of steps. And I, for one, do not want to see that. So I love Virginia. I love the Gov. And there you have it. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 521. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Means we've got Rob Chadwick joining us in a couple of moments. Rob, of course, is the big guy in charge of training over at the United States Concealed Carry Association. Rob is a retired supervisory special agent out of the FBI, headed up their training and all that good stuff, the tactical stuff in Quantico. So looking forward to chatting with him. I ran into Riley Shia the other day. You know, she is, I think she's the executive director of the Virginia Council. They've got a big event coming up, and I'm so happy she's jumped on with us for a couple of moments to let us know that we can still get some tickets. Riley, thank you for making time for us.
Absolutely. It was great seeing you yesterday.
It was indeed. It was, well, it was better to see you. But anyway, let's talk about what the Virginia Council is doing. You guys are always doing something, but this one just sounds like pure, total fun.
Yes, it is. I mean, we have really been working so hard this whole entire summer on wonderful events for the next 6 months or so. And the one that you're referring to is the Patriot Party that we're having. And that's going to be at Woodside Farms on the 17th, which is a week from today. And we are opening it up to anybody who wants to come. It's a great way to get to know people that are members of the Virginia Council, because we do have a membership. And it is just a great way to hang out with people that are like-minded and learn a little bit about the Virginia Council and all that we've done this year and all that we have coming up.
I did warn listeners. I said, hey, July the 10th, I saw the date. That's the last day to get registered for it. Now, here we are. We're at the close of business on July the 10th. Any way that my listeners maybe possibly could still get registered to attend?
100%. We'll change that date so that we can get them in there, because it's going to be such a fun event, and I hope that more people can come. And just so your listeners know, one of the things that we do at the Virginia Council is we offer a membership. And the Patriot membership and our President's Council membership both include free admission to both of these parties. We have a Christmas party as well. So if anybody is interested in doing that, they can come to the Patriot Party for free and then also come to our Christmas party in December.
Love it. Well, now you got to give us a website, my friend. Where do we go to get signed up?
Yeah, so all you have to do is go to thevirginiacouncil.org, and if you click on the Join Us button, you'll see all the memberships listed. And the best way to stay informed with all of the things that we do at the Virginia Council is to, at the very least, sign up for our free membership so that you get our weekly newsletter every Sunday, because that's always going to have all the events coming up and all the information on how to register.
The newsletter is wonderful. I look forward to reading it each and every week. I love the events that the Virginia Council is putting on. So that website one more time, Riley, if you don't mind.
Sure. It's thevirginiacouncil.org.
Thevirginiacouncil.org.
Yeah, and Virginia spelled out. So it's thevirginiacouncil.org.
I love it. Riley Shia, thank you for being here. That is Riley Shia. She is the executive director of the Virginia Council. If you're not signed up yet, you need to do it. TheVirginiaCouncil.org. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. It just sounds so much better than that nasty T word, huh? Weekend coming up. We got great stuff that we're dealing with. Thanks again to Governor Glenn Youngkin for dropping by for a few moments. It really is always great to hear from him, and his support of law enforcement is just off the charts. The fact that he spent time with the incoming trooper trainees, that's the 144th basic session, the largest class in years. It's a great crew. And the Virginia State Police continues to do great work. I will give you the heads up, and then we're going to chat with Rob Chadwick. The 143rd basic session is getting ready to graduate in August. I can tell you firsthand that they are great men and women, because I was fortunate enough to actually go in and speak with them. Why would anyone want to do that job? That's that speech that I give to academies whenever they ask. And to be asked by the Virginia State Police to spend some time with these amazing trooper trainees, goodness gracious, I walked out of there standing taller, I'll tell you that. Anyway, we are well served. We are also well served if we have joined or we continue our membership with the United States Concealed Carry Association. Great membership benefits as well as wonderful. I mean, I'm trying to think of the best word to describe the training opportunities. The head of training for U.S. Concealed Carry is Rob Chadwick, retired FBI supervisory special agent, spent a career 30 years with the Bureau, head of tactical training unit up there in Quantico, led SWAT operations. I mean, it just goes on and on, and we're so fortunate that he joins us on a regular basis. Rob, thanks for being here, my friend.
Jeff, it's such a pleasure to be with you. It's such an honor. I really do appreciate your support of law enforcement, of course, Governor Youngkin as well. It's just it's great to be from the Commonwealth of Virginia and great to hear they're continuing to get that tremendous support from people like you.
Well, that is very kind. I want you to fill us in, if you don't mind. Last time you were here, we talked about some USCCA members who had some training, and they were actually able to protect people at a church. And you were traveling. Now, I don't recall exactly where, but you were traveling to meet with them. How did that go?
That's right, Jeff. When we talked last, I was literally in the car on the way up to Wayne, Michigan, to meet with our members. There were three members of the USCCA who were in a position and were able to thwart what would have been, what I truly believe, would have been an absolute national nightmare. For those of your listeners who are not familiar with the story, this group of people were at church. They had just concluded a week-long vacation Bible school with children from the surrounding community, not just at their church, the Cross Point Community Church in Wayne, Michigan. They were in Sunday service celebrating what the children had learned and, you know, just doing their songs, just the best possible, worship service. Was suddenly interrupted by a person who was intent on causing just absolute mayhem. He sped into the parking lot, and these are things that, you know, you have to think about as a private citizen. So luckily, or by the grace of God, a deacon was running late. The man, you know, hardly ever runs late to church, but happened to be running late to church that morning, and was in a position to observe this person, this deranged individual, come speeding into the parking lot. Now, again, talk about things coming together just right. They had planned to host this service. It was advertised to be an outdoor service. And so this individual comes speeding into the parking lot, clearly expecting all of these kids and parishioners to be outside. Well, doesn't see the outside service. They had moved it in because of the heat. Well, he quickly exits his vehicle and then begins donning tactical gear, removes an AR-style rifle from his car, and you know, this deacon, who's not a member of the USCCA, not a gun carrier, but obviously a quick-thinking, heroic individual himself, he confronts the guy and says, hey, buddy, you know, is everything okay? Well, luckily, this individual just sort of stared at the deacon and then turned his back on him and picked up his rifle and started walking towards the front door of the church. The deacon had the presence of mind because he had absolutely nothing else, didn't have a weapon, didn't have any type of communication, and actually drove his car into this person, sort of knocked him to the ground, disabling him and, you know, initially, and alerting the inside security team. So the individual with this assault rifle, if you want to call it that, armed to the teeth, multiple magazines, gets knocked to the ground, is able to retrieve his weapon and fired on the truck, actually struck the truck so many times that the truck burst into flames. And then fired into the church, with all these kids were inside, you know, literally feet away from the entrance. And I will tell you the opportunity that I had to interview the members of that security team who were members of the USCCA, and believe it or not, had just attended 3 days prior a church security class put on by the USCCA, you know, how to protect your church, just days before. They sprung into action, and I will tell you, as someone who's been involved in training people for 30 years, right, as a trainer, this was probably the most profound conversation or series of conversations, most rewarding for me, because here I was sitting across from your everyday person, right? Just, these are not military background guys or law enforcement trained guys. These are just your neighbor, your friend, your uncle. And they had taken it upon themselves to get the training, to get the experience. For years, they had been going to class and just in, on that off chance that something could happen. And I'll tell you, Jeff, sitting across the aisle from them, or sitting across from them talking, it struck me, these are gentle men, literally gentle people, who had the courage and really the determination to stand in front of evil and do the right thing. And thank goodness for it, because there were over 100 plus people inside that sanctuary. And you can hear, we were able actually to pull up the video feed and hear the automatic gunfire just outside the sanctuary. Luckily, unfortunately, one of our members was hit as he was trying to get into a position to cover. He still stayed in the fight, though. And then two other USCCA members who were members of that security team were able to incapacitate the shooter before he was able to hurt anybody else. And so just a testament to preparation, to sober assessment, and just courage, you know, in the face of literally overwhelming firepower. And I want people to understand, this could be you. This is happening, you know, all over the place. We just had an incident July the 6th down in Naples, yep, where an armed man entered a church, claimed to be a trained killer, and luckily was interdicted and subdued by church security members. So we're seeing this more and more. We did that interview, if people would like to see it, is available at uscca.com/worship. Again, I encourage people, because what I saw was, I could put myself, I think your listeners could put themselves right in their shoes. These are not, you know, trained people, that sort of thing. So something to be aware of and just prepare for. It could happen to you.
Well, Rob, we're going to share that link, uscca.com/worship, uscca.com/worship. And I just want everybody to know, by the way, you go to the United States Concealed Carry Association. I just pulled it up. There are all sorts of classes that are happening in Central Virginia, an ongoing basis. I'm seeing a number of them in the Tri-Cities. I'm seeing Chesterfield, and I'm just starting to scroll. They are everywhere. They are near us. You have the opportunity to take advantage of that. Rob Chadwick, I always appreciate you being here. We'll talk again next week. That is Rob Chadwick, retired FBI supervisory special agent, formerly the head of tactical training at the Academy in Quantico, now with the United States Concealed Carry Association. 544, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Friday Eve. I have exactly one piece of sound that I want to share with you. Germ was shocked when I only sent one. Now, it runs long. That's the reason. But it just gives you a clue into how completely and totally unhinged, disconnected from reality, and petulant the woke folk are. This is on CNN, so go ahead, take a sip of something, because you don't want to spit it on your laptop or on the windshield. This is actually, what, a former MSNBC host? God, could it get any better? Cut number one, Germ.
I don't know. They haven't actually said, to your point, they've said virtually nothing.
We don't know
about this.
Arrested
the ICE spokesperson told CNN the agency is not commenting on ongoing operations. We don't know if they were looking for someone. We don't know if they arrested anybody. But clearly, whoever they were looking for, there was no one there but kids.
Well, this is, I think this is the challenge I have with even talking about this. We are normalizing a government agency disappearing people. We are normalizing, we're talking about it like it's no big deal that they are kidnapping people and transporting them to concentration camps, both domestic and foreign.
You know,
I
think that's kind of insulting to, you know,
I think it's
Jewish
insulting
Holocaust
what they're doing. Insulting to Jewish Holocaust. Okay. I find it insulting that you could even fix your mouth to defend this disgusting behavior.
Are there gas ovens at these?
It's not a
death camp.
It doesn't matter.
It's a concentration camp what they're doing, and they are disappearing people, claiming that these are people who have committed the most harsh crimes. But according to the reporting, less than 10% of these people have committed harsh crimes. So to do the victim Olympics and decide who had it worse, I can tell you I can participate in that too. And everybody who says, oh, this is not the America I know, I can guarantee you it is the America I know. Can I finish my point, please?
Yes.
We are, the fact that we're presenting this like it's political fodder, that a government agency is disappearing people, it is not a political point. It has nothing to do with Jewish people, because despite the fact that 20% of immigrants in this country are white, we do not see white people getting carted off to concentration camps. So if we can just focus on the most people, the people who are harmed the most by this, and not make yourself or somebody else the center of attention, when that's not who's getting impacted by this.
I'm not Jewish, but I'm saying, or anyone else,
the center of attention.
Tensions are so heightened. Using that kind of language, I think, is not helpful.
The tensions are heightened because this BS administration is kidnapping people. It has nothing to do with my language. It has to do with the actions that are being taken by this administration.
And how many people have been disappeared that you've never heard from again, and we don't know anything about them or where they've gone?
Thousands of people. Are you serious?
Never heard about them, where they're going.
Yes,
nothing, really.
Are you a reporter? Are you not a reporter? Yes, thousands of people. Thousands of people.
In El Salvadoran prisons who, you know, were sent.
I'm sorry, I just want to be clear. Are you defending what's happening in this
administration? I am not defending. I'm saying let's be accurate about what's happening.
I'm being very accurate, and it is very disgusting what this administration is doing. And 10, 5, 6 months, 20 years from now, I hope that you can look back at this very clip and realize that you were on the wrong side of history if you're trying to remotely defend what's happening. There are fathers, mothers, and young people who are being carted off to concentration camps, and less than 10% of these people have committed any sort of violent crime. They are coming up, people whose our kids are in school. They are never to see their families
again. Let me let Jose get a word in, and then we got to get these guys in.
Jose, could focus on hardened criminals and people.
Can I just make, since I'm done.
No, that's enough. Thank you, Jeremy. I really do appreciate that. It is disgusting to hear that. It is disgusting to hear someone on an outlet, be it CNN or a real outlet, claiming that the government is kidnapping and, quote, disappearing people and sending them to concentration camps. I sit here having lost family members in real concentration camps. I don't know who that woman was, but it is so unbelievably offensive and completely and totally untrue. Even CNN, with their minimal standards, should never have her on again. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.